We're in John 16 this morning. If you need an outline, please raise your hand, and Chuck would be more than happy to get you one, let you know where we're going. When somebody places their faith in Christ as Savior, you give them a copy of the Gospel of John, do you not? And just say, start reading. Or sometimes we hand Gospel of John's out as an evangelistic outreach. We have some of those on the back table, and we encourage folks to do that. But when I was at Dallas Seminary, one of our esteemed professors looked at us one day and he said, "Gentlemen, when you get into your first church, your first ministry, do not preach through John." And which sounded strange because, you know, John is what we give to everybody right away. He says, wait a while before you go through John. John is very, very powerful, very deep. There's a lot here, and he's so right. We give it to an unbeliever to read, to draw them to faith in Christ. We give John's gospel to a new believer to encourage their faith, and yet there's so much here. You know, every time we think we understand it, the Spirit of God has more to teach us, and that's why I highly recommend that you get something like Abide in Christ by Murray. I'm reading through this. You got to go through very, very slowly. This man abided in Christ, knew the Lord Jesus intimately, and when he writes, we want to listen. Because he's not writing to sell books. He didn't do that. He wrote to communicate to God's people, so I just encourage you to do that. Follow along as I read John 16. I want to pick up where we left off last week, verse 16 through 22, where the Lord says, "A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Verse 19, Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to what? Joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice." And here's the great news: no one will take your joy from you. Father, encourage us. Teach us by the Holy Spirit as we look through this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of studying your word in this wonderful nation. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things our passage before us this morning illustrates as what can occur to anyone when we ignore, when we bypass the wisdom Solomon provided for us in very familiar verses. You know these, you can quote these to me. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7, where Solomon said, and the disciples were not doing this during this time in the upper room. Solomon said, "Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." That's what you think is right. That's what you think is common sense. That's what you are familiar with. Don't lean on that. "In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes." That's what the disciples were doing. They were embroiled in their own wisdom, trying to figure things out, and they were involved in depression during this time. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9 says sort of the same thing. After Isaiah explains that God is going to be gracious to those who do not deserve grace, salvation is going to be full and free, trying to figure that out, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Stick to God's thoughts. Stick to God's word. And one more here, a lesson that Paul would learn that hopefully we will learn with freshness as we ultimately go through, in a little while, Lord willing, 2 Corinthians. Paul learned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 through 10. He learned a lot, by the way, but as he was asking God to take away the thorn in the flesh, prayed three times. Verse number 8, Paul says here, he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But the Lord said to Paul, the Lord said to me, what? My grace is sufficient for you. Isn't that good? My grace is sufficient for you. Here it is. My power is made perfect in what? Weakness. We don't get that. We read that, we agree with it, but we don't sense that's how we operate. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And here's the governing principle. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Well, as the Lord prepares his disciples for what's ahead, for their vital work, on your notes, in our text this morning, John 16, the Lord Jesus, and again, they don't get it yet, they will later. We need to be patient with them here. The Spirit of God was not given to them yet. They're still trying to figure it out. Roman number one, first, there's bad news, yet great news. There's bad news, yet at the same time, great news. John 16:16, where Jesus said, a little while, and you'll see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. We just read this section together, but you'll notice that Jesus uses that term over and over again, a little while, I think at least five times, a little while. You need to hold on to that because things will be okay in just a little while. I'm not going to chase that term all through Scripture, just a couple examples here. But in Psalm 30, verse 5, the psalmist talks about the concept of the little while. A good thing. The psalmist says, for speaking of God, for his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. His anger lasts for a little while, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Don't get bound with a little while. Don't get bound. It's not permanent. It's not permanent at all. One more reference here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul talks about what we're going through in this life. He says, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. A little while, things will be okay. Back to John 16:16. What's the bad news, by the way? If you read verse 16:16, what's the bad news? What's the bad news Jesus is reminding the disciples of? What is it? What's the bad news? What is it? Jesus is going away. What's he talking about? He's talking about his death. He's talking about his death. Very few hours right after this instruction is going to happen very, very quickly. Our Lord Jesus is going to die. And by the way, these events are going to radically shift their emotions. Radically shift their emotions because they're leaning on our own understanding. This is when Jesus said, I'm going away. This is absolutely not what they signed up for when they left everything, when they left the fishing industry and other occupations to follow Jesus with everything. What were they signing up for, by the way? What were they signing up for? Yeah, kingdom, power, esteem, provisions. That'll come later. That'll come later. But the bad news is, our Lord says in verse 16, you will see me no longer. You will see me no longer. They knew a little bit about what he meant here. Then, the good or the great news. What's the great news? He says in verse 16, then in a little while, you will see me. What's that? I'll be back. I will be back. That is a positive promise. Everything will be made right. And by the way, we're going to delve into this a little bit more this morning. They should have been glad. They should have been rejoicing all the time. Again, it's easy to read back and be tough on the disciples, but again, they are dealing with this. Why, by the way, from John 16, should they have been glad that Jesus said, I'm going away, I'll be back? Why should they be glad about this? Well, in John 16, verse 7 through 13, Jesus just finished telling them about the amazing benefits that would come to them when he'd leave. What are the amazing benefits? What's the big one? Holy Spirit. What was the Holy Spirit going to do when Jesus left and would send him? What is the Holy Spirit going to do? He's going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to remind them of Christ. He's going to empower them for ministry. It's going to be a great thing, and this should have been a source of joy and a positive event. We're going to talk about childbirth in the text here, but Jesus' departure should have been thought of as positive as we thought about as when my mother used to go and have a baby. Remember the old days when you had a baby? How long did you go to the hospital? About a week. And I remember we have had, how many in my family? There's five kids, so I have four siblings. And I remember when my mother was expecting a child, and they didn't talk about a lot of anything in those days, right? They didn't talk about it, and I didn't ask a lot of questions. But I know my mother had a suitcase packed, right? She had a suitcase packed, because when you went to Muhlenberg Hospital in Plainfield, New Jersey, you know, you're going to stay a week. And I don't know why, but in those days, when you brought the baby home, the baby came in a box. Do you remember those days? Cardboard, did you do that out here in New York? A baby came home in a box. And, you know, when one of the little girls would ask, what's going on here? And my mom would say, well, I'm going away. I'm going to be away for a week. You know, they start crying. I wouldn't start crying because for me, it was great news. Because when mom went away, guess who's in charge? Dad's in charge. That's fun times. That was fun times. I could talk about my dad, man. They were nuts times. They were great. My dad, never mind. I'll get up. Gary has to teach this morning, so we will talk about that. But that meant fun times. The disciples should have had that kind of joy. You're going away? Oh, that's really too bad. That's great. Mom will miss you. No, we won't, because good times are going to happen. We're going to have spaghetti and hot dogs every meal, and no vegetables, and chocolate, and Swiss music, and everything else. Instead, when we read the text here, these disciples are reasoning among themselves like little children. We talk a lot about little children in the house, particularly as my wife goes back to school. The key reminder, Jesus says what? In a little while. Say that with me, would you? In a little while. Cece has a praise song out there. She sings about in a little while. In a little while, it's going to be okay. In a little while, hang in there. In a little while, it's going to be okay. Well, it doesn't get better just yet. Roman numeral 2, look at the disciples' remaining confusion. Look at the remaining confusion in John 16, 17, and 18. Read these to you again. So some of the disciples said to one another, if you could picture the scene in the first grade classroom or whatever grade you're in, you know, the little kids are talking. They're not supposed to be talking. They're supposed to be listening to the teacher. And they think the teacher or the parent can't hear them. But guess what? The teacher, the parent can hear them. All right? That's what's going on here. They're having this private discussion. They don't think Jesus hears them. He hears them. And he's going to break in a moment or so. Let me read this to you again. Verse 17. So some of the disciples said to one another, they're having a little huddle here. What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will see me, and again a little while and you will not see me, and all that, and because I'm going to the Father. And so they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. They still don't understand yet. You know, you go back to the gospel, and you know this, and you go back to the gospel narrative in Mark chapter 8, let me pick it up in verse 31. It says, Jesus began to teach them, Mark 8, 31, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, be killed, and after three days, rise again. That's the theology, that's the scene in miniature. Right after Jesus says that, he said this to him, it says here, plainly. What's it say next? Peter took him aside and began to do what? Yeah, rebuke him. They don't get what's going on. You know that whole scene. The disciples don't get that yet. Why? Because remember, they have the Old Testament mindset. In their mindset, messiahs do not die. They didn't get that part. Messiahs rule. They reign. They're in charge. How could Jesus go to the Father and reappear in just a little while? They were puzzled. They were hesitant to ask. And again, we go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. They were trying to figure this out for themselves. They were leaning on their own understanding. And they were just, the anxiety is just growing in them. Tells me, and by the way, this is, they're getting great training for the future disciple making they're going to be involved with. This is great for future disciples. Patience. People do not get it all at once. Remember last week we read how Jesus said, I have many more things to tell you, but you're not ready yet. You're not ready yet. So, Roman numeral 3, our Lord asks a counter question in John 16, verse 19. A counter question. We find the all-knowing Savior here. Remember the teacher, the parent who overhears the conversation going on in private. It says Jesus knew what they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, is this what you were asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me again, and a little while you will see me? They were spinning their wheels. You know what spinning your wheels is like? Every now and then I get the lawnmower tractor caught way back in the woods there. You ever get your lawnmower caught in the mud? And you say, well, I'll just give it more gas. And what happens? The wheel's spinning, and it keeps spinning and spinning, and mud goes all over. That's what they were doing here. They were just, they were caught. They couldn't get out. And so the Lord Jesus Christ graciously confronts them, graciously corrects them. He answers their deepest concern, and he's going to state some things emphatically here. So we move on to Roman numeral 4 and what Jesus declares to his disciples is a glorious reversal. When you see Jesus saying, verily, verily, or truly, truly, you know something he's really emphasizing here. It's almost like you're paying attention, pay even more attention, where he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep, lament, the world will rejoice, but you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When? In a little while. In a little while. Pay attention. Huge contrast. The world will rejoice at my departure, my death. You will reap. These men are about to face, if I could use the term, a time of emotional trauma that will be eclipsed later on by amazing great joy. While the world will hate them, they're going to be rejoicing. And by the way, this instruction here, although they didn't get it yet, is going to carry them through the book of Acts. When you study these men, most of them through the book of Acts, they're constantly being hated and persecuted and some put to death. But you'll find them rejoicing because they understand the big picture. Great sorrow, great joy, the resurrection would trigger a reversal. And then number five. Jesus gives what some think is a messianic analogy in John 16, verse 20, a messianic analogy. I didn't write down a reference for you, but there's about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 references in the Old Testament to childbirth and the coming of the Messiah. Verse 21, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Amazing pain. You know, if men were going to give, if men had to deliver children, if we were going to have children, we never have any children. It hurts so much. We hate pain. How many guys hate pain? We all hate pain, right? I don't know how you do that. I do remember that Sunday night in Baylor Hospital. That was October 6th, right? I got that day right. Yeah. Took Sue to Baylor Hospital, first child, and she was in there howling. She was screaming. Wow, did I walk out of the room? I don't remember. No, was I there? Okay, that's good. the pain. And, they have all kinds of things that can help you with that. But as soon as the baby's delivered, what happens? What happens?
You forget everything.
You forget it. Joy. Joy. And what's the phrase Jesus is talking about? In a little while. In a little while. You're going to go through this. It's going to be tough. There's going to be sad times. In a little while, the painful experience will be gone. Anguish that'll be coming. And the anguish is real. The sorrow is real. The pain is real. But it'll be replaced in resulting joy. Brian introduced the service by reading from Hebrews. And Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's a little while. Despising the shame, but right now is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Full joy, full joy. And, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. One more benefit, number six. One more benefit, number six, if you're taking notes, permanent joy. Not just joy, not just rejoicing, but permanent joy. Permanent joy. John 16, verse 22 says, you also will have sorrow in a little while. Keep that phrase. You will have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice. And here's the best news. Even if they try, what's the last phrase say? What's the last say? Yeah, this thing is permanent. No one will be able to take your joy from you. No joy stealers. I will see you again. I will see you very soon. I will indeed return. The resurrection will show that they have been in his sight all along, never forgotten. Things will become clear. And here's the promise. Sorrow now, even intense, even painful. You will see me later, you'll rejoice, and as we said here, no one will be able to take the joy from you. Permanent. Be encouraged. No matter what you're going through, Jesus said, joy is coming. Joy is coming, and that's a good thing. Four lessons this morning. We'll let you out early, give you a few moments before. If you have to review a little bit before the quiz, this is important, the test, final exam. Four lessons. Number one. Storms, no matter how bad they may seem, don't last forever. Don't last forever. I'm a little, aggravated is too strong of a word, I think, for Sunday morning. But I was a little aggravated that Chuck didn't tell me about the free food on Tuesday night up in Dover. Did you all have free food all over the place?
Yeah.
What do they call that night?
Night out.
Night out. And we were coming back. We went up to see Sean and Kathy up in Poconos and pray for them. Great, great place to live in the summertime, I guess. But we were coming back, and we came through some other township, and they were having, what's the name of the place again? First Friday? First National Night out there having food. And I was like, wow, this is great. Now we know where we're going tonight, in Dover, because last year we went to Dover, and we missed it. Chuck said, you got there too early, so I'm going to talk to you next year. But last year we went to this event where they were giving out free. Anyone there last year? They've just given all the free food you want, hamburgers, hot dogs, all kind of great stuff. Didn't charge for some reason. And we didn't know this was coming. The smartphones didn't tell us. But up there in Dover, there was a tremendous, one of those thunderstorms that didn't stop. Remember that? And it was just, I can't describe you how bad it was. The family got separated. We were up there with Cambodians. Free food, you wanted them up there for that night for sure. It was having a great time. And I remember as soon as that storm came, all the tents were packed up, all the vendors just took off, and I was stuck with some lady in some closet there waiting for the storm to stop so I could be reunited. It was just tough. But we got wet. It was thunder and lightning. It was, I thought we were going to die. But guess what? In a little while, guess what happened to that storm? Sun was back out. That's how life is, isn't it? We're going to go through some tough times, horrendous times. Some of you have been through horrendous times, but they don't last forever. Second lesson, same thing. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. In a little while, the best is yet to come. Third lesson, hold on to the Word of God. Even when life does not make sense, even when things don't seem the way Scripture describes them as they should be, hold on to God's Word. Don't lean on your own understanding. We want to do that. We want to do that by default. You're going to see in 2 Corinthians again that things are the opposite of what we often think. Hold on to the Word. Hold on to the Word. And as Pastor Ray Pritchard says, number four, Ray Pritchard says, keep believing. Keep on believing. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the promises. Thank you for these 11 that believe the Lord Jesus, endured the sorrow and pain, ended up rejoicing, serving us by the letters, the Word of God they recorded for us, by word and by example. May we take heart. Thank you, Lord, for being gracious to us. In Jesus' name, amen.